is Jill Vexler at Zalman Kleinmetz. And, good. So, good morning. Testing, good morning. Just want to make sure it's good. Hello. Right, so I was asking her.
Jewish theater and Jewish newspapers.
Right.
You know, the communistic, so it is in Yiddish. People say it's that there is Emerson Asov. You understand a little Yiddish?
A little. Say that again.
Emerson Asov, the literal meaning is
Emes
is truth without
truth
without on Asov.
Without end.
Without end. But right. It was the true Emes, they will write Emes with a samach.
With the samach, not with
not
the
a tough.
Tough.
So it's Asov is a Hindus, you say not tough. So it's the same play of all. It's Emes without a tough.
Oh, I get it.
Emmet without a tough.
Oh, that's great. That's
great. Emes on Asov. You know.
Right.
So you know, for us, what it was, this what Yivsek, you know, what Yivsek was the Jewish section of the Communist Party in the beginning, after they killed them all. But the main, because the Russian really didn't know who is the Ravender in the small town, who is the Sheikhet, who is the, so it became the Jewish section. They wiped out where they only. Any trace of Jewish things. They were thinking they were settled with the Jewish theater and this was what they were giving. And this M is the Jewish newspaper.
Right.
So for us it was the same thing. So we really didn't, our Jews didn't mourn at the, okay, when they were killed, it's like every Jews after Stalin killed everybody, but you know, like Trotsky made the revolution after he was killed, but as a national tragedy to say that, you know, same the Jewish writers, it is a pity on them. Here they celebrated, it's like, but it's really what they were singing songs to Stalin, singing songs, you know.
The Jews
you
were?
No, sure. This was otherwise you will not be a poet in Russia. You won't read their poems. When they comparing this Stalin to the sun and to the moon and to the father. Okay, the same thing in Russia. This was in Yiddish. They were doing about what everybody doing after Stalin decided that it's too much nationalism to sing the songs in Yiddish, if you want. So they were killed off, but it is a pity, sure, when they killed people, but as to say that it is the end was of some Jewish culture or what, there was nothing Jewish about it, only...
It was political Jew.
Yeah, only the language that it was Yiddish.
So was there kind of a secret artistic life of the Jews who, okay, out in front, I'll look like I support Stalin, but a
okay, now
group?
This only like today they come to Israel a few, sure they were all writing maybe for like what they call for the drawer, the table, not to put paper. This is understandable.
Right. What about painting
art? The most thing is because a lot the Jewish poet that was already Russian. It's a different thing. Okay, but he doesn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But they were running from Poland, even from America, came in, you know, in the communist Ghanaian to the liberation. They were so silly.
The Garden of
and
Eden.
After they came here, they revolted against everything. There they were faithful singers songs to Stalin. Okay, it's a pity, but they killed him. If they killed him like a Jew, you know, the Jewish deed in the Amoris, you call a Kodesh, everybody. A Kodesh that was killed because he's a Jew is called a Kodesh. You know what? A Kadosh.
A Kadosh,
yeah.
A holy one.
Yeah, that's right. Like we say on the wrong coast, Dacian, Dacian, but they are Dacian, they have their own holy, but that's the thing. If you were killed, because you are a Jew, so really they are Dacian because they were killed after all as Jews. But so I'm not talking on them. I'm talking about more like it was the end of the Jewish culture. Isn't it? It was nothing, you know, Jewish about it. It was, it's Yiddish, was Yiddish, and even the Yiddish, you know, like Emerson or so, with that,
that's,
you know,
a great
the new orthography.
Right, right. So in your home, you spoke Yiddish?
In my home, in I spoke Yiddish.
And in
yeah, this is the underground. When, you know, when my father didn't send me, how long he was able not to send me to school. And learn with me after work, Chumash, and, you know, I left home to 8. I was already reading and learning Chumash and stuff.
How old were you when you started with your father? Just a little boy.
From 3 years, usually when you start.
That's right. When you
this what? This is cut your hair. This is Jewish culture, what you
right.
say.
Sure, exactly.
Okay. And sister, for in Russia, we had still the yeshivas, and you know, the coma.
What was the name of your town?
I was in Leningrad.
In Leningrad. Oh, you were in the big city.
Big
That's
city.
Right.
There
you
was
in
no yeshivas, but you see, my father went with me.
Right.
Privately, after the war, all the fathers were combining, you know, hiring somebody. And my father was always going without work because he was
a watch
repairman. And there were always cooperatives, big work, but he was always as to Shabbos. He would not come one Shabbos with some Teretz and another Shabbos without some another Teretz, and they won't lose the job.
That's right.
And we didn't have what to eat because of Shabbos, but he never worked Shabbos, he never worked Shabbos, and he raised his children, you know, quietly, was teaching them.
Other than politics, in the Jewish community in Leningrad then, obviously, politics was a big part, but were there...
What do you mean politics?
Politics? You had talked about the synagogue the first time we talked. Remember I said on Lermontov, Street, the synagogue I went to, that you said those were the businessmen, those were the fancy...
No. This was the I told you the synagogue was built, but the businessmen before the revolution.
Oh, before the, okay.
Yeah, after that it was, this was the, why it called Kopechsky Shum, the Kopechsky, the businessmen, the rich man's shum. That because they built that, so it, therefore it was a beautiful, but in my time it already was, you know, it was 20 years after the revolution.
Oh, right.
Nothing, a trace of that.
You were born in 1935?
33.
So at that point, was there a large Lubavitcher community?
No, there was, my father even not a Lubavitcher, but there wasn't other, in Russia, there were religious Jews were only almost, mostly the Lubavitcher, more or less organized.
Mm-hmm.
So even my father and my mother was not Lubavitcher, but they all married, you know, my aunt with this with Lubavitcher.
It would have been Rebbe Schneerson's father-in-law.
Huh?
Rebbe Schneerson's father-in-law was the Rebbe then.
Yeah.
And then he came in 40. Right? 1940 here.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was the 7, 8 years. So.
Right. Did you know about Rebbe Schneerson when you were
then,
in Leningrad? There.
What did no? 8 years. So
you were a little boy.
No, don't.
Right.
And also, it was very careful. People would not talk, but people were very careful to speak. It was such a. I remember after even in Samarkand already, mm-hmm. after the war, people were between themselves, they meet, you know, like a Fabringenish, mm-hmm. Sitting together.
Right, was Fabringenish.
One Achosit was released from prison and came among the Chassidim that everybody did know him. Everybody still did know him before the revolution, before he was, you know. And because he was in prison, because he was, they didn't see him for 10 years, and he was released, people were afraid to talk with him.
Sure.
Because maybe he was released on condition, it was so much that even a man that you know him, you were studying with him, and you really liked him, but after a separation of a few years, you were afraid to talk with him. You don't know if he is a...
And what led
up... Informer or not.
Right. Well, there were a lot of secret people.
So there are no politics. People will not talk politics. Right. It was too dangerous even to think. I came out from the people that adopted me...
Oh, that's... When was that?
Yeah, after the war. I didn't have... The parents died in Leningrad. And my... The father-in-law of my aunt... She also lost her husband, so she came to him, to your father's, to his father-in-law, and after she had the children with him, and he sent her from Samarkand in Sibir to pick us up, me and my sister.
From Samarkand to Leningrad?
No, to Sibir. We evacuated, the children were evacuated in time of war to Sibir.
When was that?
Beginning of the war.
The beginning.
And they evacuated themselves to Samarkand.
And that's far.
My aunt was in another part of Siberia. And after the war, she came to her father-in-law in Samarkand.
Is that 1945?
1945.
Right.
And she left her two small children with him, with her father-in-law, because she also lost her husband. Her husband was sitting 10 years in prison and died there. And she was good, and she did go for... to pick us up in another
part
of Siberia.
Who took care of you in Siberia?
Uh-huh.
So you were...
I was in Omsk. So
7, 9 years old.
Then?
Yeah.
No, then I was already 12.
By the end of the war, yes. Right, end of the war.
No, the people that... What I'm talking about, so he adopted really me, this nice guy. Obvious, yes. His three children... He lost his children, but he was raising his three grandchildren and three...
Adopted.
Three adopted. The aunts, her daughter-in-law's nieces and nephews.
Daughter-in-law's
and was to raise it in Samarkand, in Russia. It wasn't like here. You don't get nothing. It was a nice guy. But I remember we were in Yerushalayim. We were sitting and talking, and somebody mentioned Stalin and his wife. And everybody laughing at the yoga. Yeah, why? It's Yerushalayim, it's Israel, you don't have to. But it was so ingrained, that even
right.
At the table, you mentioned Stalin, so actually a non-woman was.
You still can't talk about it.
Don't talk too loud,
That's right.
This why I'm talking to, saying how it was ingrained, the fear and the...
Sure. And after Samarkand, where did you stayed with that family?
Yeah, I stayed with that family, sure.
Were they Kleinmans? No, they would have been different names.
Yeah,
sure, different names. And where, so from there you went to France, you mentioned?
Yeah, I was to France, I was there in Yeshiva, and for Samarkand we were through Poland and Austria to France and to Israel. It only took a few years still, but...
Did the Hayas
help
with
the
movement?
Yeah, sure, Hayas is a thing. Like we were living 3 years in Paris. It was, Hayas was supporting the all the time.
At the end of the war, how did Hayas find the Jewish families that were spread out?
They didn't find us.
You found them.
Find them, I don't know. We got out from Russia. They didn't have to move them around. It was from Europe with Clayton, with the DP camps.
That's
full
right.
Of the survivors of Germany and the new arrivals from Poland and from Russia that were... Almost a lot of Polish Jews were saved by... that when they ran to Russia, not to... Understand. So nobody had to find nobody. It was,
When you were in France, so by then, let's say you were 14, 15 years old, did you learn? They set up schools.
No, it was
right?
A yeshiva.
Yeshiva.
The Lubavitch yeshiva that almost came out from Russia intact, you know, with the home.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. But by then.
Underground, what was an underground yeshiva, yeah.
What were the girls doing for studying then?
And was a bespifka day. I organized right
there too.
Yeah. Oh, and I will tell also how people don't understand what we came for out from Russia. Like, we came in France, still was after the war. So when we came in France, still the war was, the bread even was on rations. Even in France.
Sure.
But this is the same old woman that adopted me. I remember she came home. I got a store, I bought a bread, and the storekeeper says me merci. She thanks me, you know. What? In Russia, usually she used that. Okay, nobody says dying, but 8 years old, the buyer says a dying to. Thank you. And here is another one. I buy and she thinks, says thank you.
That's right.
That's what the Russian came out. And looked on together different.
Sure. Did you learn French?
No, I didn't. I was in yeshiva, complete isolated in a village in a small town.
A small town
in France.
In France, yeah.
Maybe yeshiva was sitting for 3 years. I was there learning. After I wanted to go to Israel, the home of my family. That is.
Oh, from France to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go with them?
Yeah.
And how long did you live in Israel?
Israel was for 7 years.
Oh, really? Where?
Kfar Chabad.
Kfar Chabad. It's outside of Tel Aviv, right?
Outside of Tel Aviv.
Right. So when was Kfar Chabad established?
Kfar Chabad was established a year before I came. It was established in I think, 48.
The same year as the state of Israel.
Yeah, same thing. And I came 50, yeah.
Israel. Have you been back to Israel since
no.
then?
No. I was there 7 years. I was 3 years of that in
the
army.
Beginning.
In the army, I was 3 years of the seven. And the only time I wanted to go to live there, not to visit, I don't have interest.
To live there. But so why didn't, so that was, Israel was just established.
Yeah.
There was the beginning,
yeah.
1948. You were in the first army, the beginning of the army.
Yeah.
Why didn't you stay?
I didn't
that?
Really, you know, my life is where the wind goes. I didn't leave Israel. After I finished the army, I was painting series already, but I came from Paris. I was there 3 years. I even didn't visit Louvre. I was in the yeshiva time. Now I was going to see art. I was really did go to I didn't left Israel, I was going to, you know, in Paris to study art, to see, to visit museums.
So did you get to go back from Israel? You went back from Israel to Paris?
Yeah, I did go back to Israel to Paris, and there I got married.
How did you meet your wife?
Among the Lubavitch, you know, they are always like that, you know, they see a boy that is already ready to marry, those they see too, that you should meet. I was eating at a family Shabbos. And she was also there eating at a family Shabbos, if it was intentional or not intentional, but, okay, after I got married, I'm ready, you know.
How old were you when you got married?
25.
That's average.
Yeah.
And how old was she?
21, 22.
What is your wife's name?
I haven't Rosa.
Rosa.
Yeah.
That's my grandmother's name.
Yeah. Well, after I got married, already she had papers to come here. She was waiting for 7 years because she was on a list of the immigration, the Polish quota, then was on the quotas.
Sure.
So
she's from Poland.
She's born in Poland.
Born in Poland.
And she had a sister here, and I had a sister here, and I didn't want to go to Israel, she wanted to go to America. You know, and then is so we came for a try to, you know.
So when
my brother-in-law wrote to me, okay, come here, America is free. You won't be able to leave if you don't want. Nobody here is closing the door. It's a free country. You're free to leave. It's my brother from here wrote to me there in Paris. So I came, but it doesn't. You're not free to leave. You know.
No.
No.
So you never went back to Israel at that point, and you were a professional painter.
Yeah. So the first few years I was living like on the bags. You know, it was packed,
going
to go. But with the time, you get children, you get parnos, you cannot leave.
That's right.
The work, you go there for hunting something.
So that was early, it was like 1950.
Here I came 1958.
58. And you knew, so you had a brother-in-law, or is he a brother?
No, brother-in-law here.
Brother-in-law.
I have a sister here, yeah.
Sister and brother-in-law.
I have a sister here and I have a sister in Israel.
Were they in New York?
Huh?
They were in New York. Or they were in Crown Heights? Or?
No, they were living in Borough Park.
Borough Park.
But I came to Crown Heights because they were not Lubavitchian. And I was Lubavitchian. When I came to New York, I saw that everybody lives here. It's mainly about because it's my friend, my from Yeshiva, and my the same, you know.
Right.
The thing that I'm used to see, to paint, and to, so this is why I came here.
Who, when you first came to America, how did you find a place to live in Crown Heights?
No, when I came in America, so my sister was in Borough Park. She picked me up, and I came to her. And my wife had a sister in Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to, stay a few days after we found some apartment for a few months because it was summer. Somebody did go in the country, wanted to stay us in the house.
Right.
So, and for the summer, I looked around and I saw that all the Lubavitch were living.
Mm-hmm.
They live here, so I...
That's how I found it.
I found an apartment here.
Right.
I remember the first apartment, I was paying $50 and it was very expensive. I came here, the subway was 15 cents.
Oh, yeah. And where was that first apartment?
On President Rogers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. And then from President...
No, President Rogers is not the president. Rogers, it's already, you know...
Where's... Oh, Rogers is more toward the museum.
Yeah.
Right.
There was already, you know, over a store. It was nothing fancy. But,
oh. And then you moved here?
Then I moved... this is my third apartment.
Third apartment. You buy it?
No.
You still rent?
Yeah.
You rent.
No, I moved because this was small. There was only two rooms, and we had children. You know, you have to move to a bigger apartment.
The first floor is a separate family.
The first one is a synagogue, a shul.
It's a shul.
Yeah.
Oh, is it marked?
Yeah.
It's not marked, is it?
What is marked?
Doesn't say Beit Knesset, Beit Hamidrash.
Everybody knows.
You
don't need
right.
Science.
Right. Oh, it's a shul. Is that where you pray?
Yeah, sure. Well, here, you go to 7:00, it depends.
Right.
Know. Because here is only 1 minute, you know.
Right.
If you are late,
then you miss
7:70,
it.
You have a lot of time.
So where will you go for Tisha B'Av?
I will go to 7:70.
7:70. Yeah, I was there on Shavuos. A million people.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands and thousands of people. But how many synagogues are there?
No,
like
no.
little
no,
ones.
Even here, and across the street is another synagogue.
Really?
No, because instead of why it's so many synagogues, because people are we have to daven every day.
Right.
And in the morning, right away, before you're going to work, it is fast and you don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot. So you go in the synagogue in your neighborhood, so each few blocks has to have a synagogue. You run in the synagogue, you half an hour, you make the making the davening, and you're running to the job.
Sure.
So,
what was your first job when you came?
Because synagogue is not only here for, you know, like Shabbos, once you go with the family synagogue, and now is you know, you go in there in the morning and after in the evening, and you cannot, if too far, it is a little too.
Sure.
waste of time.
Every time I walk on a street with someone from the community, I see new synagogues, which I wouldn't see otherwise. But they all have an Arona Kodesh and everything.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. What was your first job when you came here?
I came here, I was painting houses, I was pressing, was in a...
Clothes?
In a knitting factory, was a presser. Uh-huh. And all kind of jobs, always, you know, I would find something to illustrate a book, I won't leave the job, and then it would finish the book, I won't another job. So it always, the art was always enough to spoil the, you know, not to give Parnos a living, but to make.
Well, it was what you loved to do.
Yeah, I love to do, but it is, you know, it's...
How would the writers of the books find
you? It's not a responsible way of a father and a husband to live.
But you survived.
Yeah.
And how did you learn English?
One artist, only if you want to be an artist, don't get married.
That's right.
But yeah, I managed to raise a family and to be an artist.
And did you take your family to museums in New York?
Or yeah, the Brooklyn kids, Museum? Yeah, the kids almost.
Are your daughters artists, or they? Someone plays the piano, I see.
My daughter plays piano. The oldest daughter.
Do they draw or paint?
The older daughter has a little. If she won't apply herself, she won't be able to draw. The rest of them.
When you came, how did you begin to learn English other than hearing it? Did you take classes or?
No. And I know this, I think, obviously an artist is not a practical man. When I did go to France, I decided I want to learn French. So I came there, I didn't buy a Jewish paper. I didn't know the news, I was buying a French newspaper. And I was reading news without understanding a word. But suddenly I was reading, and I started to understand what I'm reading. So when I came here, I wasn't still finished with French. So I was reading French books there to accomplish the... Therefore, with the English, it won't be later. But my English is bad because I'm living among Jewish... I speak Yiddish. So with the children, I was special speaking English to Yiddish to
Yiddish.
Nordish, no Yiddish. And we won't speak, you know, they speaking to me in English, I speak to them in Yiddish.
Right. And your children speak
now
good
they're
Yiddish?
Trying to speak with their children Yiddish. The grandchildren in Florida don't know a word of Yiddish. But the grandchildren here, because they were going somewhere in a, my daughter is a she's a computer programmer. She works somewhere near in Seagate, near a,
right.
So she was going there in a school with a babysitter. She takes the kids to work. The babysitter is a real Yiddish speaking. Here the children know Yiddish.
Right. What's your most comfortable in
they
Yiddish?
They laughing that this mom, she speaks English now with a Yiddish accent.
Which one speaks English?
No, this.
Oh, this one.
One, yeah.
Oh, she's so cute.
But she will marry the English.
That's great. So, do you speak French at all anymore?
No, I don't speak, but I read freely. I understand. Right. I stand to read, not to listen is also hard. French is very funny language, you know, you don't... They mixing combat, but to read, I read for I main thing that it's not to speak, but to read for me. Right. To read, I read freely.
Yeah, me too. Does your wife speak?
Well,
she speaks French because she was there.
She was a long time.
So she speaks Polish, Yiddish?
Polish, Yiddish, Russian, right. French, English.
And English. Right. And where does she work?
She's a clerk in Subway.
She's a clerk?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Subway.
In a subway?
In the subway system, you know.
Really?
Not in the subway.
The offices.
Yes, no.
Right. So she could probably use her French with the Haitians.
No, she's doesn't do it. No, nobody, nothing to do. She works at whatever.
Right. How long has she been working there?
I don't know, after the kids, she wasn't working when the kids were small, but after the kids didn't need no more help so much, you know, they were in school, she started to work.
I just, you know, was just thinking how you managed to maintain your art, your interest in art, while you were studying so hard, and is there, how does art fit in to studies at a yeshiva?
Art and peace, you know.
How did you realize you had the talent and the love for it?
I always, that's my I remember like still Leningrad, when I was a child, you know, six. I was fascinated for the each 1st of May, the Superbund paint with red paint the entrance. I was so fascinated to see how standing look how it covers paint.
Right.
You know, it becomes red.
And it becomes another color.
The plain brushing on paint is was very fascinating for me from always.
That's true.
Yeah. So it is. I never had to decide about something. I was always wanted to hold the brush and to paint, even to paint walls. But,
and Leningrad has so many colors in the buildings there. Those orange buildings and yellow, green.
Yeah.
The Hermitage is kind of
but it is all
green,
plain an apartment house with a big yard and a wooden, that. It was a wooden
outside?
No,
an entrance.
And in this it was small door for people to go, but sometimes a truck would bring wood. So it was even painted the whole big thing with a paintbrush, and I won't fascinate them. You know, it's like for me.
Did your family encourage you?
I left my family to 7 years, 7 8, so I don't know really. My mother was obviously more, I think, artistic, she wrote by Mikhail's medals, but I remember. My father was too busy to study with me Yiddish, Jewish, you know,
right.
Jewish things. He worked a whole day, and after he would come, he won't tell here, if I prayed good, and my grandmother would give him a... mother would always... My mother, I was good, but for the grandmother, she must say that I was skipping the praying a few pages. I didn't pray really. Not nice. So
forth. Interesting.
So I would have my portion, my lecture, and after I won't learn with me.
So you were in Paris for your bar mitzvah age?
Bar mitzvah, I had the summer camp.
In Samarkand, it's a large Muslim community too.
Yes,
isn't it?
Samarkand, like now, it's become with Afghanistan, everybody
knows.
This is really on the border of Afghanistan.
Right.
They're living Uzbeks. In the Uzbeks, you heard that in the news. In the war also, it was always the Uzbek. It was Uzbek, and a lot of Bukhari and Jews.
That's right. What was...
Because Bukhara is also from Uzbekistan.
Right.
Samarkand was the capital. So
right,
very
I know some
city.
Bukhara
Same thing,
Jews.
It's very beautiful city. There was the new town and the old, you know, there was still the time from Tamerlan, of the big, from the Mongols. That was a half of the Vond was... You know, under his after Chinggis Khan,
right?
You know, so
right.
It was his. The capital was in Samarkand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
Also, but the eastern part, the old part, is small, narrow streets.
Mosques.
Mosques separate. There's mosque. There is a pond, and very beautiful.
The mosques are separate. Oh.
Yeah, but the small. There is, you know, the irrigation goes from the mountains. And in every few, there are square with a pond. And in each small street goes a brook of water.
A brook.
Everybody drinks from it, not not the European. The European won't buy water from I would go always with a pay to buy for a ruble a pail of water from a well. Yeah, but from Washington, from this, we won't take the water from here. The Uzbeks and the Bukharians, they won't drink also this water. But what I say, the water makes very beautiful. It's every place, like near the mosques, there is a pond, with trees. But usually the streets are narrow streets, see blind walls with only a small door. And you will go in a door, and a door is already a courtyard with trees, with the home living place. The houses around the courtyard. And the home living was in the street, not in the street, in the yard really. Mm-hmm. But from the street you don't see nothing because it's high walls, blind walls. The windows from the houses are not to the street.
They're to the courtyard.
To the courtyard.
Right. That's pretty much the Eastern architecture. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
And after a rain, it won't be a rain. Some part of a wall won't chip up. So the boss won't go out so straight. He will not have to bring cement or whatever. He was right away making from the street. This was clay, the street itself from clay.
Yeah.
So he won't make right away the clay from the street. And make him patch up his wall, and the street won't be, you know, like that with
the holes.
Oh, but it was, you know, cars were there. It was for a asin, a hamor, a donkey. It was good, you
right.
know, up and down, a donkey. It doesn't mind.
How did the European Jews and the Eastern, the Bukhara and different Jews get along?
Oh, the Bukhara, the when we came in Samarkand, not I came already, it was already good after the war.
Right.
That came out of the war. In Russia is one problem, there is in one place growing things, they don't have the transportation.
That's right.
And the next place, people dying from hunger.
Still the same.
In Samarkand was, the markets were full, with food, with everything, even time of war. But Russians came, were dying from hunger because they weren't worked and there wasn't money. And there were Bukhari Jews who that he came here after. It was very honored here because he saved a lot of money. He was very rich. And they still were able to, because somehow the communism didn't reach them really truly.
It's far.
No, it's not far, because we are living so, the Russians don't know about them. They're living like clans. And you know, so before he was a sheikh, now he is the chairman of the Communist Party, but it didn't change really, you know, too much. So he was very rich. Obvious, you know, he has a cousin in the chair, he was a cousin a chairman, and it was all right. He was very rich in the safety of that people think that if not, if you are Jews, they will not survive.
And that's great. And so they help you find places to live and...
Money with food.
Right.
Food.
And when you got settled, the...
That's before I came to Samarkand. When I came to Samarkand already, everybody had this whatever.
Were the Europeans...
The Europeans.
Were they separate from the Bukharan Jews? And where they lived and the synagogues?
No, like we are landlord. We are
landlord.
From a landlord, from a Bukharian Jew. He has the courtyard. He is, and we were renting there.
And you went to the same synagogues?
And very, they are, you know, the Eastern, like the Uzbeks, they're very respectful of my. This man that adopted me was a rabbi, a big rabbi, a long man, nice, very nice. And when he won't come in, we won't leave, you know, on the second floor. But the steps to the second floor were on the outside of the wall, not inside.
Right.
Yeah, and when he...
Difficult.
No, but it's the same stairs. But
yeah.
When he won't come in, the Bukhari, his landlord won't stand like that till...
Would bow.
Yeah, would bow till he won't... They're very respectful of Rabbonim, of Abbas,
They have wonderful art traditions, the textiles?
The Bukharian?
Bukharian, the yarmulkes are different.
Yeah, the yarmulke is nice. Yarmulkes with the robes, they're from a lot of colors, you know, that's kind right. of colors mixing out. Sometimes plain strips, but sometimes from silk, it would that's be right. like broken, not plain strips, but broken, very beautiful.
Right, stitched.
Yeah.
Did you paint any Bukharan? Jewish things.
I remember you see how you say it, but I remember in Samarkand I was Hanukkah. I got Hanukkah money. You know,
Hanukkah.
And I was going to in the home that over the town to look for paint. It was able to find there. You see? And I remember I would make I will just for my sister a little to cut her hair, and I will try to make brushes from her.
Oh.
Her hair.
Did it work?
And we think no, it didn't work. So you see, my obsession was always
that's
you know,
fantastic.
It was a hard time to get a few hairs from her. You know, like
sure.
She has nice, beautiful blonde hair. She really didn't want to. It was also not good. It was too thin, you know.
Sure. So what animal hair, horse hair, right? For paintbrushes.
Pig hair. Pig hair. Bristles, you know.
Because it's hard, right. But I guess in Russia they could have
In Samarkand wasn't it. The first paint that I bought when we were going back, I was in Lemberg. I saw there and I bought a set of water paint in Lvov, it's already European, there was.
Lvov, right.
But in Samarkand, I wasn't able to find that, but I was trying to do something, to make.
This is kind of silly, but did you bring any of your old European things with you? Did you save things?
No, yeah. I threw everything up. I have only one thing that my sister, I gave to my sister, so she saved it.
What is that?
A small picture. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. What did you paint up? What is the painting of, the picture you gave your sister?
It was a man lying on the grass, resting. Mm-hmm. In a garden, very primitive, very nice. But
that's
this
great.
I was like 15 or something.
So when you have paintings from when you first came to America?
Yeah, sure. When I came to America, I read about,
Profession.
Sure.
Right. Great.
Wonderful. Okay,
thing.
That's a
64.
Oh,
that's great.
So it's already a good piece of work.
Absolutely. You're a young man.
Huh?
You're young.
Yeah. 64. I was 31 already.
It's a wonderful painting. Wonderful. So sometimes you sign in English and sometimes.
No, then I signed it only in Yiddish. I came just from Israel, but now I signed also in English. I saw that I don't know the. You know, you're still going.
May I look at this?
Thank you.
really kind of scary. Or sad, I should say. The Holocaust paintings.
Nice. You have here the scary because the nice one like that people buying, and this so I don't make too much of that. But
it's, you know what's kind of interesting? I noticed the other day, I didn't say it, but you look at these men with horrible expressions, but they're wearing ties. It's like they were taken. Something.
Yeah, that's a theme before they lost their ties, sure. That's the surprise, the wonder, what is all about. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
This is. Right, and the one over on this side in the studio, on the other side, where was that? Where was that? The only painter in the community.
Oh, no, there are a lot.
But you're the only one anyone's mentioned to me. You must be the favorite. Seriously, I'm not just saying that. You're the only
maybe
person.
Maybe I'm the oldest.
I don't know. That you're the only person anyone has said to me.
There is a few artists here, but yeah, I'm the oldest. Let's say like that.
You're very good. are people asking for certain topics or?
Usually I don't do.
What they tell you?
Yeah, because it's, you know, people have all kind of, don't understand how to, you have to think as an artist, then this idea comes to when he won't give me a scene and say, make this and this and this, you know, like from this side and from the other side. It's impossible. Usually I want to give you the book, I will read it and I will choose what to illustrate. So therefore, but people also sometimes ask to paint something.
Are they Jewish stories? Are they Jewish stories?
Yeah, mostly Jewish stories, yeah.
Are the writers from the community?
No. I was looking for the second one also, you know. Here, like, that's my master of, this is Haggadah. Haggadah for Pesach.
Oh, you did a Haggadah?
Yeah, that's Haggadah. It's in the wrong with it.
Oh, this is wonderful. So who published this?
That's in the Baruch who published.
Yosef Friedman. Oh, I've seen his name. Great.
That's the whole, the design, mine, even the paste stuff, everything.
So how many artists know how to do paste stuff? Very few. Very few. I can tell you. Oh, this is wonderful. I have to get a copy, the Haggadah. That is just great. Do you have the originals of these still?
I had to take from them.
And these look like watercolor. No,
yeah,
that's
the same acrylic, but I bought, yeah, like watercolor. Yeah. The same acrylic.
So there's your Yerushalayim. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's great. Great when Eliyahu comes. Oh, that is just wonderful. You're just terrific. These are absolutely great.
Yeah, it's also a nice printing.
Yes. It says it's printed in China.
Yeah, printed in China. Yes. All the way to the communist China to print.
Oh, these are wonderful. What do you think about, you know, in most Lubavitcher homes, there is rarely art such as yours.
Most homes is rarely art, you know. Not Lubavitcher homes, art is expensive thing.
That's part of it. But really all I see are pictures of the Rebbe and photographs of family.
Yeah.
I don't see decorations.
No, it's expensive too.
So who are your clients?
The Bible Shalat. What you saw about this guy, yeah.
The lights. Okay. So
how do you think how much do I produce? I don't produce that much.
Yeah. But you sell everything.
Yeah, but the prints are not hanging, you know, in the houses.
Right. It's just I don't see, I guess, of course, it is the economic factor because it's expensive. But you don't see much decoration other than a Hanukkah menorah or something.
I think it's twofold. It's money per se that you don't have, and money like me. I think I will never buy my painting. I think who buys my painting? I will not have the audacity to spend a few thousand dollars for a painting.
Is that audacity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there is some kind of ashamed.
But how do you put a value on your talent?
No, not my talent is worth more. But how can I private people spend money? You know, for me, I'm afraid to say that because I won't spoil my market. You know?
I won't tell anyone. No, we'll turn it off. I always say you walk into galleries in New York and you see $50,000 for a little collage. Why? But I don't know how you put a value on art. I mean, how much is the
wedding? No, but I think in New York already, you know, when you buy a New York picture, it's already like investment. He buys not because he's interested, because he can sell it.
That's part
it. Is already money, so he doesn't care really. He doesn't have to like Picasso to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
He buys it, he doesn't see it. His agent buys and puts some storage in a vault. He doesn't care about it. Picasso is money. Picasso is like you buy diamonds. You don't have to like diamonds to buy it. Mm-hmm. Or gold or whatever. Mm-hmm. So.
And which galleries can people find your work in?
No.
They have to come to you.
Yeah, here on Kingston, sometime, yes.
Where in Kingston Street?
There on Kingston, some store and gallery there.
Really?
Sometimes he has, sometimes not. He has the prints, my prints, but it's a very hard work, you know. With art, you have to go around and look, and then, you know.
It's New York's a hard city for art too.
Yes, so they say. There is a lot more artists than galleries.
True.
So the galleries are very, you know, and obviously more galleries than buyers.
Right.
So this is the, that's the...
Especially now.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Speaking of thinking about...
And also, you see, because today art, you don't have to, they're not required to know, to be able to... So everybody that decides he's an artist starts to schmear and schmears and you know.
That's right.
And at least when the realistic painting, at least there's something that is objectively you have to know, you have to... And the rest of it is left to you, to your judgment, if there is there something, but at least the minimum there is craft.
That's right.
Craft that you know. But today, even they're nothing. You buy a canvas, you buy a brush, and you start to express yourself with that. So therefore, they're not people that don't have what to do, I think, start to paint.
I don't know.
If
you had not, you obviously had something inside when you were a little boy that you, in all of these travels and moving and travels. And
but therefore, I started to learn and I know how to draw a figure. I have to. It was a part of my ambition to really to know how to.
Did you
draw,
study?
To be instantly. I was not going not long ago in the street in New York. and I saw a bunch of paintings in the garbage bin. A bunch of the abstract paintings. And they were as good as the mosaic stuff. But instead, nobody, obviously the owner died or whatever, and nobody cares, because abstract art, if it is not, it's not a museum, it's nothing. Or it's not a museum, or by a man that is already a museum. Instead, because this is, I think my painting still, everybody will see that it's a painting. It's good, bad, but it's a painting.
Right. Instead, it's realism.
It's realism. And everybody will see that there is craft, there is made it at least by a great artist, a small artist, but a craft, at least a craftsman.
Right.
And here, you see, because he didn't got to be in a museum, so nobody cares. It was in the garbage bin. Nobody was looking to pick up. I also didn't pick up.
Right.
Because...
Did you study art in classes at all? Did you have a teacher?
My art classes were limited to maybe a few months in art student league when I came here the first.
In art where?
Art student league.
Art student league.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When I came here, I was going there for a few months, but it was also too expensive and stuff. I have to then, you know, I have wife and children, I have to try to make...
Right. Yeah. Were there other religious Jews studying?
No.
It's always interesting to see who's the artist in a community and the role that person has. And I guess that's why we started talking about the Yiddish theater, because one of the women was telling me that it was a shanda that a woman should perform. The woman shouldn't stand up in public to sing or to act or to sing.
That is a problem. That's been a problem. That's really easy for... There are strong-minded in their religious conviction. For them, it is a shanda and you don't do it, on period. For an artist like me, it's really a pity. And it's really a hard problem. Like sometimes, like my daughters, she's very musical, she can play piano, she's busy with other things, she's not so much as a concert pianist, you know. She won't have to work too much for that, she's busy. But still, if she won't have more talent and more, it won't be really a pity. I don't know what to do, it won't be a pity to waste it. This is the boy, and this is too bad. But I will not express like her a shanda. I will say it is a pity, because it won't be. I think it won't be a real pity if my daughters won't be enough good to
right.
to be professional.
Yeah, I know that would be a horrible.
But on the other side, it is I won't be horrified to raise my daughters in a secular world.
Right.
Very beautiful girls.
Yes.
And you know, I would not sleep nights if my daughter's not at home, or even when she's home, I don't know whom she's dating. But like that, I didn't care. My daughter, 3 o'clock, she's not home. I know she's somewhere there with the Lagbeimer parade, making this what you saw, the similar things. It was very...
But it's here.
Yeah, that's what they say. I know where the children are, I know what going on, and I know their interest. And this is what's good for the parish homes, because they have a matter of activities, so it is there is what to do for the young people.
Right.
It's not only as much for the outside world as for, like I know, for my daughters, I was happy. They are busy with creating these parades. You know, we're not sleeping nights and making some performance in school, making the customs, or whatever. They were busy. But if...
well, it's a good, and it's a way to learn.
Yeah.
To learn the...
From one side you say, okay, it's really a pity if she's not a performer. But if my daughter won't be...
What is this?
That's my daughter. So you're talking about your daughter, so I want to see that.
Very beautiful, especially the oldest one. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
She's the one in the portrait.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, such a girl with talent, and a beautiful girl, she won't be second. She would want to be, why not? And they won't tell you, you can be a movie actress. Yeah?
Right.
And a girl won't have the fantasy of a movie actress. You know, what kind of a underworld there is, and she would go out to there. I wouldn't even want instead.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Like that, she's safely married with a shliach, and they are working there, and they are...
She's the one in Florida.
Yeah, they are both in Florida. For Shivas, after they talk out, they have enough to work, so the other daughter comes to that marriage, she is going to Florida. They have a school already from 190 children. They came in a secular town, nothing of Jewish thing, they made it a synagogue. And now they are school. A school of 190 children is very, for a few years. So they are happily busy, they don't sleep. Their mother is always worried that she don't eat, don't sleep, works too much. That is what...
it's good work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more happy that she won't be somewhere, who knows, you know.
Playing the piano. Yeah.
Playing piano in Hollywood or a mother, she won't be for sure eligible to be some famous mother. But you know, so the career of that to make so one thing you say a pity, but the other for the other side, you know, if you look realistically, it's not so big pity, it is good and safe and all right.
Can you think of any children who have left the community because they want to be in careers that would be difficult if they were still Orthodox?
No, they will not have to. They will not. They will not have to. Very few.
Very few.
Very few. Very few.
What if your daughter had said, "I want to be a doctor," and go to secular university?
I will never force nothing because this should not be.
Right.
If she wants, if I didn't succeed till then to. My daughters always did what they want, not what I want. What they want. Mm-hmm. But you have to raise them that they should want what.
Yes, right.
No, don't think I was manipulating them. No.
No. Well, you made a home.
Yeah, maybe.
With certain values.
Well, that's all. And they saw they want. Their ambition was on right here there is here. Is like even in school, they always there gangs of more like they consider them the better.
Right.
Some girls wanted to the better girls wanted to be married with a shliach and to go out like the shliach. Like the better boys wanted to be go in business, make money, and live like men. Better boys, the better girls want to be shulchan.
Mm-hmm.
So my girls were choose. They didn't want to see a boy that is. He is even they are over in yeshiva, but after the yeshiva, he is. Think to go in business. They will not go out with him. They wanted
only
a shvir. So it wasn't like it was enforced. Or this they are raised like. Not I raised them, I sent them to school. And the school, as I heard from them, is already there is a school, so like, you know, gangs of girls that are already more, you know, looking.
But they were good students, I'm sure.
Oh, my, yeah.
Smart.
Smart. So on the slot, I didn't know that there is how Marx was always in one line, always the ace.
Ace.
And I was thinking, because she is very cute, the teacher gives her ace, but when the other daughter started to go, I saw that there can be, even they are cute, but there is a curved line. But she was thin from first grade in the end straight A.
And your son?
My son is a little trouble.
And what does he do in Israel?
He works. He works. Mm-hmm.
And his wife is Israeli?
No, he's not married.
He's not married. Oh. How is he's the he's third
the
older, one?
He's the older.
Oh, he's the older one. Uh-huh. So how old
this
is he?
This is what I say to Papa.
Oh, because he's not married.
He's not married. Not because he's not married, because he's not married. Not.
But does he live alone?
Yes, live alone, because
so he would be like late 20s?
Early 30s.
Have you been to visit him in Israel?
Well, he comes to me.
He comes here. Which yeshiva did he go
but
to?
You also in the Lubavitcher yeshiva.
The Lubavitcher boys yeshiva? Does he paint?
No. He has a talent to write, but he, with all my encouragement, he didn't, you know, take it serious. And wasting his time. Like this one, they say it's not only an ideal here, an ideal expression. There is the same thing like in every place, but it's not by you know, it's not the fault of the like here we say the society. It is the fault of some physical things. I push not because it's,
well, everybody's an individual too. But sometimes when I see the big Lubavitcher families, mm-hmm. I wonder what it would be like to be one of 12, one of 15 children.
It was a lot of
it's
this.
Hard, I would think.
No.
We're three. I have two brothers.
I also have two sisters. I have two sisters, but I have four children. But my oldest has already five children.
Uh-huh. You have four children or three?
I have four.
Who's the fourth one?
I have three girls.
Three girls and the boy.
This is the two in Florida, but I have one here.
The daughter here and the son-in-law, yeah. Right.
And the son. Right. And but my daughter has already five.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But they are all happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're nothing, they're like, it's not like you say you cannot give love. Love is not a measure of truth. It can, like light, it is. Here you make a small room, the same light, it doesn't. Big room, there are no rooms, it spreads all around.
That's right.
It's enough light, enough love for everybody. I don't feel that the children, they are deprived. So. Right. And hatred, there are no jealousy, no, because everybody is, you know, always. Nobody was never the only one, even the oldest one, the only one, but he was for a short time the only one. And always there was a small baby to care, and the brothers and the sisters love the small baby always. And now it's a big family support. Wondering sometime, I look and the boys, Yeshua boys, for me it's already just boys, I know them boys, they got married and see I am ready with children, the small children, and they are sure they are taking care so much on their children, and it, where did he learn? Did go courses for to be a father? No, it's not why, because no, he is already, he got the courses. He had already siblings, he had small, so he knows how to, you know, because I will take, with a girl, you take for granted that she is born like a mother to know, but a boy, I was thinking, Bob doesn't have to be a father. But
you know, well, he's watching.
Oh yeah, he's watching.
He's
yeah.
one of yeah. the group.
He runs the group, and when it comes to him, he's, for me, he's on the end himself, a boy, but his kids, he loves them, like...
Right. What would you say are the elements, the colors of a good family?
I would say good metabolism, good chemistry.
Good chemistry. Mm.
No, I was thinking in plain in physical thing, because this is what I say sometimes, like if physically something is not something deficient, then you raise from, you know, it doesn't, you cannot, I don't think you cannot be, you cannot be like, I speak with my son on telephone, and I'm talking to him and says about my the sisters and everything good. Okay, how did you manage so good with them? And I say, I don't take credit and I don't take blame.
That's a good answer. It's a very good answer. Yeah.
Do what? It's, you don't have to raise them. If the metabolism is working, everything is all right. It goes. And if not, it, you know.
Right. It's, you know, sometimes I ask my brother if we were at the same table because we seem so different.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But God said, no, we're all healthy, and yeah. but we're very different people yeah, yeah. sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes it's like the same mm-hmm. stamp. Mm-hmm. So it's just individual. Yeah. We were joking the other day about a friend and I were in the Lower East Side, and there was a chassid from Borough Park, and he said to me, why don't you buy a dress? And I said, I have a dress. And he said, well, what are you wearing for the holidays? I said, I have a dress. And so he, and I said, the next big event is my niece's bat mitzvah. And he said, so when is it? And I said, they haven't picked the date yet. And he said, why don't they know what day it is? And so my friend said, well, she's Reform. And they're not sure they're going to pick it depending on the weather, you know. So that's kind of my brother. But she has to have a bat mitzvah. But it's kind of relaxed. But they study a lot. Not yeah, as
much. Is also not very mixed. Bar mitzvah is not a thing. You have bar mitzvah, you have to put on film, but the party is not necessary.
Well, it's not a right. But that's, you know, it's one of the changes in Jewish, in America. The Reform, sometimes the party is bigger than the parsha.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bigger than the Oneg Shabbat. So it's, yeah, just.
Of the success of my son-in-law, mm-hmm. They have a Reform temple there in...
Where in Florida?
Coral Springs. It's a new town. So obvious of the success, I see that the Reform temple is deficient because there is...
You're right.
doesn't give obvious the whatever people looking for.
Well, I think you're right, and also that the Chabad house and the people who really studied, like the Shluchim, mm-hmm. and their wives, obviously,
yeah.
bring not just challah and but Yiddishkeit, but they really bring information.
Yeah, there's because one other,
because where in Florida is there a yeshiva?
Yeah,
there's no yeshiva.
Yeah,
and that's true for me, Texas. Mm. There is no, they're now.
You are from Texas.
I'm from Texas. Yeah. So I met the Lubavitcher rabbi in San Antonio. And he's from here. He's from Crown Heights. He was born here. Chaim Block. Young man. And he loves it. He's bringing important information, schooling, libraries. But there are good libraries in San Antonio, but they live it.
Yeah, they live it.
Now there's a kosher butcher.
Yeah.
For years there was no kosher butcher.
Yeah, this letter also, but with them is not only they started a school and a synagogue, but mainly the other people already, you know, there was a kosher restaurant from his crowd, from his shul already, because they saw that there is a demand. People like supply and demand, American capitalism, working for making business. So there was a kosher restaurant and a kosher pizza and whatever, it started, a kosher bakery, it's already starting to
So is your son-in-law Mashgiach also? Can he check kashrut?
Yeah, he would have given sure if
great.
Performed this thing also,
really?
Why not?
Yeah. He's like a miniature, like a little bit of Crown Heights.
No,
he's
a rabbi.
He's a rabbi.
Sure.
And where was he brought up?
He is also Lubavitch Yeshiva, but himself is Canadian. Canadian.
From a Lubavitch family?
Yeah, from Lubavitch family. Same thing. I know his father still from
From Europe. Fantastic. Well, that's great. Maybe sometime I could meet your daughter and grandchildren. If they ever want to go to the Children's Museum, we can go anytime they want to go. It'd be great. And to meet your wife sometime. Do you have any plans for exhibitions?
Olivine. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you again. I just walked in today, and it's just a wonderful home.
Okay.
It's really wonderful. I thank you so much. I love your work, and I'd like maybe some other time if a friend could come who likes art. I mean, you never know. But I just think it's great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.